This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning, happy race day, everybody. At 10 o'clock, the brand new time slot. We just moved here from 8 a.m. and we're really enjoying it, getting a lot of new fans listening. And what a great show we've got for you. Thanks to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey Miller's Competition Head Service at Government and Butler Streets in Mobile. Tim Bryant standing by with Five Flag Speedway and Mobile International Speedway. Last night, he brought the Pro Late Models, the Pro Trucks, Sportsmen and Bombers. There were also wrecks, totaled cars, and we'll call it intense emotions. We'll talk about it shortly. And Saturday, coming up the 5th, the final race of the year at MIS with double features. There's already been two champions crowned, and it could be close in some of the other classes. We'll talk about it. Also, Ray Martin standing by with Sunny South Raceway. We've got a big race tonight at the Bullring in Grand Bay. Also, news that Sunny South Raceway and our team, Kane Motorsports, teaming up with the new team driver. We've added Lonnie Mixon in his pro truck, and he's got a two-seater in the Pro Challenge. And what we're going to do next season, we'll sell $10 rides for five laps in that two-seater, and Lonnie is going to donate with Sunny South Raceway half the proceeds to the Kane Warriors Childhood Cancer Charities, which we'll talk about later. So we're excited about that. Now, if you like circle track, you like dirt, and you like motorcycles, you're going to love to hear where Bobby McClendon-Shire is, the owner of D&D Motorsports out of Pensacola. Crazy team driver, loves doing what he does. Let me just say, he's in Charlotte, and the track looks amazing. Big race here. We'll talk about it. Wayne Niedecken Jr., he was also at Five Flag Speedway last night. Three-time champion of the Grand American Stock Car Series. Had some problems. Borrowed a car, was involved in a first-lap accident. We'll talk about that. And as if that's not enough to cover in about 52 minutes, Matt Weaver standing by. We're going to talk a little bit about NASCAR. And he's also covering the Cars Tour Race up in Concord Speedway. We'll talk a little bit about that. So as we start the show, Tim Bryant, we love having you on the first thing, and we were talking off the air. It seems like you should be traveling to MIS, but no, we got a Saturday off.
Yeah, we're on a new schedule had some good racing at Five Flag Speedway last night. No racing tonight at MIS, but we will be back there next weekend. And just a reminder to folks, we'll have a Friday night practice prior to next Saturday's championship race.
Yeah, and it's going to be good. And before we get into Five Flag Speedway, let's talk about MIS for a minute. Some pretty close championship points coming down, but we have also got two champions already crowned from points.
Yeah, congratulations to Casey Smith, the Miller Lite Series champion for 2015, and Big Jason Johnson, the Mississippi driver, who captured his first Superstock championship. And that was just a joy to see. Jason's been racing a long time, been a fixture around Mobile Speedway, both as a crew member and as a driver. It's awesome to see him win a championship.
Yeah, and again, we'll do double features, but as we shift gears now, let's talk about the excitement last night. You brought the Pro Late Models, and I love what you guys have done. You know, obviously, in the past, we've had 100-lappers, and those are exciting, but I think the fans are really enjoying, and we're seeing more hard racing in the Pro Late Models with what you start. You start off the show with 20 laps, and you start off or finish the show with 30 laps with those guys, and wow, intense racing and some torn-up race cars.
Yeah, I tell you what, certainly it's a show for the fans. I'm not too sure about how the drivers are feeling about it right now. The first races are usually pretty clean with a straight-up start. And, of course, what that means is the fastest guys time trials start in the front. Mm-hmm. But when you go to inverting, you know, a full field, and last night we had a 12-car invert by virtue of the choice. The first winner, of course, the first race was Ryan Luza, and he had the option to pull a 10, 11, or a 12, and he pulled a 12. So, for all practicality, it was a complete invert of the second race. And with those Pro Late Models, where momentum is so important, you know, in a 30-lap race, the guy that starts in the back, he just don't have any time to waste. So everybody's on the gas from the drop of the initial green, and a lot of times it just makes for two guys in the same piece of real estate, which usually ends up in crumpled fenders.
Well, and what happened in turn? It was coming out of turn four, lap one, and all I saw, it looked like a wreck at Daytona. I mean, there's cars sideways everywhere, and the leaders got involved. Wayne Niedecken Jr., God bless him, he's going to be on the show later. at practice, he blows a motor. Johnny Green, who's with Intimidator Charters, he's part of the Kane Motorsports team. He was excited to be back and run his late model. He gave up his late model because Wayne was doing the points, and he ran a Sportsman. But, again, then he gets torn up right there in turn four. It just looked like you said, not enough real estate, and it just collected a lot of cars.
Yeah, on the initial start, somebody got out of shape a little bit. Somebody checked up. It's usually just an accordion effect, and it wound up getting about eight cars involved. And you mentioned Johnny Green giving up his car to Wayne Edeck and Jr. Well, Ryan Luza, talk about drama, come in as the championship points leader, and he crashed his car on Thursday night. Got into some oil on a racetrack doing a mock qualifying run of all things, and just virtually destroyed the back end of his car. Almost simultaneously as that accident was happening, Larry Blunt from Jacksonville was unloading his car for his first venture at Five Flags, and Larry says, "Hey, Ryan's running for points. I'm going to let him drive my car." And wow, what a performance that turned out to be!
Oh, it was, and that just shows. You know, we put that on Facebook. If you go to Derek DereklOng, look us up. I'm telling you, there have been so many people just praised these drivers for doing that, stepping out from Blunt and also from Johnny, from those guys stepping out of their rides, because those things aren't cheap. They put a lot of time in it, a lot of sweat and tears. And then they get torn up, and Flying Ryan comes in, and he still wins with a busted car. How about that? Second race.
Yeah, no doubt. He come down pit road along with everybody else after the carnage was cleared to that first lap accident. And Larry Blunt come with a good pit crew, and, of course, the Luza crew was pitching in as well. And they did a masterful job in about 5 minutes while we were cleaning up the racetrack, getting that thing back straight enough where he could get back out on the racetrack. And, of course, he started at the rear or whatever was left and just methodically worked his way up there and ended up, I tell you, a story we can't overlook is the fact that Kurt Gallott gave up the ride after in his number 17 Pro Late Model after feature number one to what was already established to be his future driver, none other than Okie Mason. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and put Okie in the car for the second race."
Wow.
So he starts on the rear, and after the accident, of course, it moved him towards the front because he was able to steer clear of it. Mm-hmm. He takes the lead, and I tell you what, it looked like Okie was going to win that doggone race.
And
what a story that would have been. Yeah. But Ryan Luza did run him down and pass him for the win, but a great finish for Okie Mason in second, that Kurt Gallott machine.
Yeah, and I love what, Okie always climbs out of the car, and first thing he does is what Jeff Gordon used to do every time. He says, "Well, I want to thank God for getting us through that." And what, during his interview, when we interviewed him in Victory Lane, he says, "Boy, I'll tell you what, you give me anything with a wheel, I'll drive it."
Well, he's been around a long time. Yeah. He's driven virtually every type of race car that's been out there, and, the common denominator is success in all of that.
Yeah, 50-year-old Okie Mason. He decides to bring his pro truck out, and guess what? He got his win in the truck too. So we're talking about it's Okie Day again. And if you're just listening for the first time, we've got a lot of new listeners. Last year, Okie Mason did something that got him national news. I believe it was six championships in 1 year. Is that right, Tim?
Yes, he did. Pretty much cleaned house in every division that he ran at Pensacola and Mobile, and of course the Gulf Coast titles to go along with that.
So he's definitely a wheelman. Well, let's talk about, and there was some drama last night, and we put it on Facebook, and there was some rubbing and racing. Ryan Worsham thinks he got the worst part of it in the truck race, showed some emotion, and we put some pictures up there, and he said something you shouldn't on the PA, but as a driver, and your side of it as well, you're a driver, you've been a driver, emotions are high. Sometimes you do things you shouldn't be doing, and immediately he was very apologetic about what he said. When it comes down to it, emotions are high. Do you think that's what the fans want to see? But at the same time, you've got to be careful as a driver, as an owner, as a track owner. Where's the line?
And you also have to be careful as an announcer.
I know it. I didn't even know he was going to drop that bomb. And as soon as, I had no idea, and it happened so quick. And you know what? Your main announcer, Robbie, had that microphone turned down pretty quick. So God bless. But that happens. And that's not been the first time that's happened at the track.
Well, let me just say this. And, of course, first of all, we want to apologize to all our fans for any offensive language used by anyone out there. We do know it's a very, emotional sport. Mm-hmm. People are passionate about it. And, drivers are pretty quick to lay blame and say things that sometimes, some of the best advice that we ever hear out there, and it comes from our race director, Dan Spence, who says to people, breathe through your nose, and that's simply a message to think about, think for a second before, you know, you go to talking. And you know, I think when we get the video reviewed, that Ryan may have a different vision of that whole accident than what he thought happened. But nevertheless, it was a tough break for him. He was second in points. His truck was damaged pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's racing. It's stuff that's going to happen.
You're right. Absolutely. You talk about racing, the sportsman again, and it's such an entertaining class, and we had some fast cars in that class. But again, that was it, the fifth win now for Steve Buttrick?
Fifth win for Steve Buttrick, but a hard-fought win. Tell you, he and Brandon Fowler and Shane Ard right now are just really duking it out. And I tell you, I just can't wait. Of course, we'll probably see some of it this Saturday night at Mobile with the Mako Fabrication Night and the double features and the Sportsman. But then after that, we'll be back to Pensacola on back-to-back Saturdays, September 19th and the 26th. And that's when we really think we'll have a Mobile versus Pensacola race within a race, because you mix all the great Sportsman drivers from Mobile and put them on the track at the same time with the Pensacola guys, and you are really going to see a battle royal.
Well, and a lot of the Bomber drivers, including myself, plan on racing out next Saturday. And you know, smart move to move it to Saturdays. Is that just because of high school football, or just what's the reason for moving these last two races?
Well, it's a combination of things. Certainly, a lot of people in the Northwest Florida area are heavily involved in high school football, which takes place on Friday nights. But we also know what a challenge it is for our Mobile guys to get to Pensacola on Friday. So this allows us a couple of Saturdays where, you know, you don't have to worry about fighting that 5 o'clock traffic to get across the Bayway. It's a lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere on Saturday nights, and we're going to do it 2 weeks in a row.
Okay, Bombers, and then we'll let you go. Gino was devastated. There was a terrible accident coming. It involved a lap car, but Gino Denmark, his car was totaled. Also, we had Sarah Daltrey. Her car, I've been told, is not totaled, but I'd be shocked. And then the brand new Bomber, the yellow car, with another Balkan Motors car, it was pretty much wasted up too. What happened?
Well, it was just a situation where, the 49 car, the Balkan car, got into the wall, and Sarah Daugherty was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And Gino Denmark, they were having some engine problems last night. They almost were a start and park car. He, of course, you know, on the verge of clinching a championship, so they didn't want to let that slip away. They were having a wheel pressure problem, so, you know, he was just kind of riding around the middle of the pack and ended up just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sarah's car hit the inside turn two guardrail head on, and wow, that thing is going to take some extensive repairs if it's fixable. And Gino's car, most of the damage was in the back, but it was a tough night for Denmark Racing.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, Robert Looper led wire to wire, and I said, "Are you going to be legal this time?" And he said, "Superman ain't going to stay down long." So he was legal, and he was declared the winner, and a great race all the way around.
Yeah, a little redemption for Robert, who takes it to the limit to try to get everything he can out of that 15 car, but it worked out for him last night.
Well, again, we're off this weekend. Again, let's talk about when the gates will open next Friday. Obviously, practice Friday evening. The gates, I believe, will open at 3, and the practice will go to about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Practice will go from 5 to 9, as we normally do on Thursdays. But again, it's a Friday night, and that way, first for the guys that go out and do some testing and tuning, and certainly they're just welcome to leave their rigs until Saturday. We'll open the gates at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon to get in the pits. Of course, grandstands gates will open at 4 o'clock, and it's a 100-lap pro late model championship race. We'll have some drivers that we don't normally see in there, and it's shaping up to be a great event. The other thing we've done is been able to roll back the ticket prices a little bit. $5 off. It's a $10 ticket for all adults, and all the kids 11 and under get in free. So new ticket pricing for next week to close out the season with.
All right, Tim Bryant, we appreciate you coming on the show. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Kane.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org, and that's United States fire department racing, and we race to bring awareness to volunteer fire departments from around the country. So if you have a car show, a fish fry, want to have some race cars, find us on Facebook at usfdracing.org. Hey, still to come, Robbie Bobby McClendonshire, the owner of D&D Motorcycles out of Pensacola, driving for Ducati, and he's actually doing pro racing in Charlotte at the dirt track today. Can't wait to hear about that. Wayne Niedecken and Jr. also going to talk about his run last night over at Five Flags and what it means for him to try to get that championship in Mobile and Five Flags. And again, Matt Weaver still standing by with Popular Speed. He's covering the Cars Tour race. That's going to be a Concord Speedway. We're going to talk also a little bit about NASCAR, Tony Stewart responding to the lawsuit and everything like that. So as we bring in Sunny South Raceway, Ray Martin, we appreciate you coming on board to tell us a little bit about what's going on tonight at the Little Bull Ring. You know, if people don't know where this little track is, and I call it little, but it's really a big facility. It's Sunny South Raceway, about 7 miles, just past Mobile International Speedway in Irvington. You just keep cruising out there, and it's going to be on the right-hand side. And you guys are right behind the Grand Bay Community Center, right?
Grand Bay Senior Center.
Senior Center, that's it. And it's not hard to find. And what I love about your track, Ray, is you're training tomorrow's racers today. You've got these young 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds in cage go-karts that look like sprint cars. They have full NASCAR gear on, and these kids are loving it, and it's really starting to produce some good racing in all the classes that you have.
Yes, sir. It's definitely producing great racing every night. Last race, we had them at the start-finish line side-by-side, and those until you couldn't even swipe a credit card between them. man, let me tell you, they've come a long way. You know, we seen them start racing, you know, since our 4-year-olds, they're up 12 years old now. Mm-hmm. And they're rolling now.
Well, and this track, tell us a little bit about the track.
It's a quarter-mile asphalt high bank, it's a miniature Bristol is what I call it, and it's just like Bristol, full of excitement in every corner.
Yeah, and it's so fun to drive. I won my Bomber Championship there in 2013, and it's such a great track. And we hope to have, and we've talked about this before, uncertain on the opening of Mobile International Speedway. We're hoping that they're going to have some races there next year, but I've heard some rumors that maybe the Bombers and Sportsmen might do some laps that go over there at Sunny South, and I would love that.
I would, too. I'd love to see that happen, too, but you know, we got to see what Big Brother's going to do first over there.
That's right, Big Brother. Well, let's talk about the style of cars. Now, you've got the Legend cars, and these are kind of like the vintage I drive. Explain what the body styles are, but they're a smaller version.
It's a scaled-down version of the 1950 model Ford coupes and sedans, Chevrolet sedans, and stuff. And they're scaled down with a motorcycle 1200cc motor in them and short wheelbase. Too much horsepower for such a little vehicle. They will go sideways and spin the tires any time on the track they want to.
Yeah, if you go online right now to sunnysouthraceway.org, you guys can check out the beautiful site. You guys have live timing, so if you can't make it to the track tonight, you can find it by Race Monitor. Race results right on the website, which is just really cool. And you show some of the pictures of the styles of cars, and you can really get a glimpse of how family-oriented it is as well. I mean, you can let the kids run around. That's one of the few tracks you can do that and not have to worry about the kids.
True. You can turn around in the stands, and you can look in our pit area, and you see the junior champs and the Bandolero guys. They're throwing footballs and having a good old time. And during intermission, we have a bicycle race for anybody that has a bicycle. Yeah. Come out there, put on a helmet, and we'll give you a lap and give you a trophy for it.
And the kids will sleep good after that lap.
It ain't bad until you have to get out on it.
I know, right? And it's heavily banked. Well, gates open at 4. Kids 12 and under are always free. Practice at 5, qualifying at 7. And again, it's online at sunnysouthraceway.org. The owner, Wayne Okresic, yourself, and I have been talking off the air about a very special thing for the fans. And also for folks who don't know about Kane Motorsports, we do a lot with childhood cancer. That's our main theme. And, you know, we'll take the cars over to the Women and Children's Hospital coming up the second Friday in December. And we always have some of the Sunny South guys join us up there, blessing the kids, and we get blessed by doing it. But Pro Challenge Truck, we got Lonnie Mixon, who's currently ran third this last race. We're teaming up with him, adding him to Kane Motorsports, and you and Sunny South Raceway are doing something special for us. Can you tell us what's going on?
What Lonnie has done is he added a seat to the passenger side of his race truck, and for $10, he's going to let someone go out there, ride with him, and give them a couple laps around the track. And the money's going to go to Kane's Motorsports Warriors Kids, which is a great cause. You know all about it. It's your cause. But I can't say enough for Lonnie, man. That is a big deal for him.
Yeah, that is, and this is exciting for the fans too, because now anybody who goes to the racetrack can now strap into a race car for $10, okay? And we're getting half that money, and all that money, just to let you know, goes to local families that are fighting cancer. We have a lot of kids right now. There's a young girl named Tila who's fighting right now. She's in hospice, and she's now back at the hospital, and we pray for her today, and we hope that Tila's going to get better quicker. And it's always tough when we see our kids sick like that, but we give money to the parents. Whether they need gas money, a new video game for the kids, and it's just so rewarding to see the smiles. And we took our race car out to Tila's house about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and she was so excited. When you see some big race car peeling down the street and coming up to your house, and we had the full gear on, and we gave her a Kane Motorsports trophy and stuff, that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir. Anything for the kids, and that's what we do. We're about down there. Everything for the kids. Kids come first down there.
Yeah. Now, how do we find the track at Sunny South Raceway? Because, again, tonight, if you've never been, this is really a great opportunity to see some amazing racing.
All right. If you're coming through Theodore on Highway 90, you go through Irvington, and you'll see the Mobile International Speedway on your left. You go about 7 miles down, and on the right-hand side, it will be us on Highway 90. We're right behind Grand Bay Community Senior Center. Mm-hmm. We'll have our little sign out there and probably a couple cars parked out there until about race time.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to it for sure. We appreciate everything that you guys do again, so thank you so much, Sunny South Raceway. And rain gates open at 4, and I can't wait to hear about the racing next Saturday.
Yes, see you there at 7.
All right, there you go, Ray Martin with Sunny South Raceway. And again, now we're excited that Kane Motorsports is going to take a spin on the dirt, literally, probably. Going to be at Deep South Speedway tonight, regular show. And I encourage anyone else that's got the vintage cars to come out and play tonight. We need, three or four or five of us out there just to have a good time. Gates will open at 4 o'clock, racing qualifying 7 or 8 or something like that. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Again, Deep South Speedway, I-10 logs the exit 4 miles north on the left. And I want to thank Casp Industries, a brand new sponsor that's on board with us, from water jet cutting to any kind of welding you would need, and they can do front clips on race cars. They're on board. Also, Casey Lewis of Cross Creek Realty over there in Citronelle is a big part of what we do as well. So, Kane Motorsports going to hit the streets again coming up, so hang on, more to come around the corner. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Again, later today, we'll podcast the show at USFD Racing. That's United States Fire Department Racing out of Kannapolis, North Carolina. And honored to be with them for the fifth year. And we raise money and bring awareness to volunteer fire departments from around the country. You can find them on Facebook, usfdracing.org. And, well, we're going to talk to Robbie Bobby McClendonshire from D&D Motorcycles. But he is actually live in Charlotte right now at the dirt track. And he just might be actually working on his bike. We couldn't get a hold of him, but I tell you what, one of the sponsors, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that guy, Robbie Bobby, is on the hood of this next guy, and that's a good sponsorship right there. We welcome Wayne Niedecken Jr. to the show. Wayne, good morning, and how are you feeling this morning, brother?
Oh, I'm a little wore out. We've been really working hard trying to get things together, and weekend didn't really go as we planned. We had a little trouble with our main car on Thursday night practice. We had a push rod bend.
Oh.
And when I was doing the pre-op on the car, just getting it ready for the weekend, I ran across a valve issue, and I kept working on it two or three times on the valve adjustment itself, and it just kept rearing its head. You know, I was really concerned with it and just, felt like there was a problem there, and sure enough, there was. It raised its ugly head, and we bent that push rod. The valve obviously was sticking in the guide a little bit. And, race cars will talk to you if you just listen to them. And
good.
It was talking to me steadily. And, you had to go with it just simply because of, the points battled and all that stuff, trying to maintain our position for the snowball provisional stuff. Mm-hmm. And the first two cars being guaranteed a, starting berth if you don't make it in on time, and with all the guns coming in with all the money.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice to have that, in your back pocket, knowing that you've got a, guaranteed starting berth. And like last year, we were third in points, and fortunately enough, first place in points made it in on time, and which was Johanna and myself and Eric, not Eric Jones, but the Jones kid. I can't think of his first name right now.
Anyway, Brandon Jones. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, we came in on the provisional, started in the very back, and he wound up running third, and I run seventh, and I had a way better car than what we finished. We just got a bad restart with one of the kids didn't go, and I don't know if he missed the shift or what, and it's kind of one of them, you got split-second decisions, and I could have put him 3D twice. You know, I thought about it, and I said, no.
Yeah.
Let's just stay where we're at. You're going where, you know, take a chance on carrying my stuff up and everybody else, too, so I just stayed where I was, and a lot of times you have kids that are people that will take that chance, and they put everybody else in harm's way, and I think that's probably what happened coming off four last night. You was asking me about that. 89 was having some kind of difficulty. I don't know what, because we took the green and mid straightaway on the green, initial green coming to the line, he just lifted right in front of me, and I had to check up to keep from running over him, and I got hit from behind and got passed by about six cars, it seemed like, and so I'm behind all of them now, and then somebody got excited and ran over the 89 and turned him around, and that's what caused that major wreck.
It looked like Daytona. I mean, it looked like one. I mean, the whole track was covered in cars sideways and smoke everywhere.
I had nowhere to go. Lucy was sideways in front of me, and I'm on the binders to stop and miss him, and I just barely touched him, and somebody drove me into him big time, and I don't know. You know, it's just one of them deals. You're nowhere to go, and you know, hopefully everybody behind you gets slowed down, and unfortunately, sometimes you got somebody behind you that's not paying attention and, you know, driving over their head or something. Who knows?
Let me ask you something, Wayne. What, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, you talk about these young kids, maybe they're stars of NASCAR, or, you know, they come from big money. So a lot of the kids are getting moved up sooner, maybe. What is the, I mean, I'm hearing 12 and 13-year-olds driving pro and super late models, which are the next stepping stone up to a NASCAR career. How young are, what's your thoughts on this?
I think you need to have a learner's permit before you're allowed to drive anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because you haven't experienced enough in life to make key decisions. And somebody was saying the other day, when you put 10 or 12-year-olds together, they're still 10 and 12-year-olds. They're goofy, and they act like 10 and 12-year-old kids.
Sure, sure.
Now, you have an exception to the rule occasionally. You'll have a kid that has been raised around adults all his life, and he is mature behind his years.
Sure.
But there's so many of them that are not that, you know, like I'm saying, they haven't been in life experience enough to deal with a situation just like Troy Vasoffi, when the kid spun Troy, drove him in the wall, and the car exploded in fire. Kid gets out and runs like a kid.
Yeah.
He doesn't help the man that he just tried to kill. You know, and, you know, not purposefully.
Sure, sure.
But it's a racist situation, and it's a grown-up world.
Yeah.
And when you put a kid in a grown-up world, they're going to act like a kid. They're not going to act like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have respect, and you need to drive with some camaraderie there to where you take care of, you know, respect your fellow driver.
Yeah.
Don't just bash him and knock him around and knock him out of the way. And that's what I see coming from the kids coming out of the go-karts, because they're in a class where they're under horsepowered.
Mm-hmm.
Their fathers are pushing them because that's probably their dream, not the kid's dream.
Yeah.
You know, with very few of the kids, you know, have the dream and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, you know, the competition and the evolution of racing weeds them out as they climb the ladder. You know, they just don't want to do it, or they do want to do it. You know, it's just, you got to be devoted, and you really got to want to do it.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of time. And we're talking with Wayne Niedecken Jr., three-time champion of the Grand American Stock Car Series. He's running what's called the Xfinity Series in NASCAR, currently leading the points at MIS, and second, I think, as of yesterday, 74 points behind Ryan Luza, who's having a good year as well. And again, what I like about what you do, this is your job. This is your career. You build cars. You build trucks. Right now, you have a pro truck, which is just amazing, built from the bottom up, that you're selling. Give us some details on this for the drivers that are listening, because this truck is a piece, a good piece.
Well, I just you know, I grew up in racing. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a father that was a hands-on racer, built everything himself, motors, everything, mm-hmm. in his era. And unfortunately, you know, for me, I was so busy with cars, because we had two race cars just like, you know, that we run, and my father did the engines, and I just never really had the time to stop and learn the engines like I wished I had.
Sure.
You know, so I had to depend on other people to do my stuff. But in lieu of that, my father would build our engines, and, you know, we'd have an engine that would, you know, last maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
So you were sitting there behind the eight ball, because you had guys buying racing engines from guys that at that time were building one to 200 a year. So R&D was big, and, you know, you just got further behind. So, you know, I use an engine builder because of that, you know, so I don't get so far behind, and I stay up on the latest greatest.
Yeah.
But the truck, and getting back to the truck, I'm able to, having grown up in that, I'm able to look at rules and dissect them.
That's a good way to think.
And what I did on the truck was, you know, I took the rules and I read the rules and I slept on it a couple of weeks and I built the truck.
Yeah.
And I jumped through all the little holes that they had in them rules,
mm-hmm.
because the rules were full of holes.
Yeah.
And I built a state-of-the-art truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really neat. But I had built one back in 97.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck I built in 97 was copied by a lot of builders.
That's saying something.
I reinvented the wheel for them.
That's right.
And, you know, I just kind of took a little bit of that truck and went further with the truck, because I had put an underslung rear round tube and rear clip on the truck I built in 97.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck with that clip had been outlawed. And, no longer allowed in the rules, so I just took that, in fact, you know, into the rules and everything, and I built me a piece of pie, I call it, you know, because pretty much all the trucks out there are a lot alike. Yeah. And I
it's the Black Beauty,
you know, because they're alike.
Didn't I see Black Beauty was one of the names of that thing?
That's people that hang around with me and all, they're all naming it. My wife names it, and I've got a guy that takes pictures for us now, and that's good, you know, because, you know, all my career racing, mm-hmm. you know, I'd ask my guys, you know, how's the attitude of the car? And they're like, oh, it looks good. You know, well, no, I don't want to know it looks good. I want to know we're level, or is it leaning right or left, or what are we doing here? So, you know, that's a good tool, being able to look at them pictures and see what you got.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's a tuner.
And that's it. And I know you're going to get tuned up and ready. Second place was the best finish so far in the Snowball Derby, correct?
I ran second to Bickle in 90, and that was a long time ago. I mean, but we've had probably 10 opportunities to win that race,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, little things happen, like a flat tire or a bad pit stop or got took out or something. I mean, just it's all about being around it at the very end of that race. I mean, keeping your fenders on, tires straight, and having a bullet to shoot at the end. And I mean,
I love it.
That is a major league race. That is the Daytona 500, basically. And, mm-hmm. and you have a ton of cup teams coming in now. Probably 75 to 80% of that field is affiliated with North Carolina. And, I mean, it's just big money. You have the, the five Richie Water stuff comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go through 20 sets of tires on the weekend, one car.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you got a little guy, you know, like the locals, we're little guys.
Yeah.
And we're playing against the Giants, and we're trying to compete and run and win this race and have something good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have good cars.
Sure.
But, you know, we can't compete with that.
Yeah. They can outspend you.
I mean, the dollars just beat you.
Well, Wayne, I know you've had a great career so far, and it's going to continue. Really quick, how can we find you on Facebook? Because you do have a fan page.
Yes, we have. It's Niedecken Motorsport, or go underneath Wayne Niedecken Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have the fan page, and it's under Wayne Niedecken Jr., I believe. And just click on that, and it's got a lot of old nostalgic stuff on it and a lot of current stuff and kind of what we're doing and just, you know, what I'll let my wife post on there and what, you know, she was just chomping at the bit to post that truck the whole time we were building it.
Not yet, baby, not yet.
It's beautiful. I'm really happy with the truck. We just haven't had a chance to run it enough, you know, between running a late model and working on everybody else and stuff and trying to run that truck. It's just not enough junior to go around.
Well, Wayne, we appreciate you. Junior, you take the rest of the weekend off, and we'll see you at the track, okay?
All right, Kane, take care.
Absolutely. Wayne Niedecken Jr., what a great man, and if you ever get to see him in the pits, talk to him. He's a wonderful, wonderful racing knowledge guy. Coming up, we're going to talk NASCAR and more with Matt Weaver.
Five.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway. Off this weekend, final race of the season, double features next Saturday. Also, thanks to Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey Miller's Competition Head Service. Thank you to Tim Bryant coming on. Also, Ray Martin with Sunny South Raceway. And again, Wayne Niedecken Jr., great little interview with him. You learned a lot about his style of racing and everything. And coming up now, we've got to talk NASCAR, but also this guy, Matt Weaver. He is the executive editor with Popular Speed. And it's amazing how you tour all over the country. And Matt, good morning. You do so much. You're at the local tracks. You're at NASCAR. And today you're actually at the Cars Tour Race up in Concord Motor Speedway. Half-mile track. And it's a very, I guess, a historical track. But we were just talking off the air. You're looking at 80 cars. That's amazing.
Well, first of all, long time no talk.
No kidding.
You slacked on having me on.
You stay so busy. I mean, you're on all these satellite radios, and we're just a little radio network in Mobile.
Yeah, well, it's home for me, so certainly
right.
I can always make time for you, Kane.
Oh,
but,
God bless
you. Yeah, the Cars Tour this weekend. This is the series that many of your listeners will remember as being the old Hooters Pro Cup Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Those cars pretty much kind of became a dying breed late last year. They had a hard time drawing cars. They had races that had only four or five cars per race, and Jack McNally, the owner of the series, said, you know, enough is enough. We've got to figure out a new game plan moving forward. And so he came up with this really revolutionary idea where he took the super late model division that you guys are familiar with, deep in the Deep South, the Midwest, all across the country, but also the late model stock car perimeter rail cars, which are really prominent here in the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic, and we're going to have two different tours that tour together and pull all the resources and draw about 80 combined cars. You have about 40 super late models, 40 late model stocks. It pays more than any other touring series across the country, and it's really become a really interesting deal with two real good championship battles.
Feeder series to NASCAR?
Only in the sense that when you look at super late model racing and late model stock racing, you have a lot of really talented guys who come out of there. I mean, you'll see on the super late model side a lot of drivers that are familiar with the Southern Super Series. They run a lot of their races. Bubba Pollard has come down and run a handful of Cars Tour races. Kyle Grissom, who won a Southern Super Series race at Pensacola earlier this year, he is second in the super late model tour standings, 10 points behind Cole Timms. So a lot of familiar names. Stephen Nassy runs a lot of these races. Stephen Wallace, Chris Davidson. So on the super late model side, at least, it is very familiar to our friends there in the Deep South who follows the Southern Super Series.
Well, I want to talk NASCAR. I want to talk IndyCar and just a terrible, terrible accident, the loss of a life of Justin Wilson. You were personal friends with him. Tell us how it's affected you and what happened.
Well, I've known Justin for several years, and, you know, it is tough because you're going to hear a lot of people talk about Justin Wilson over the next couple of months, and it's going to be a very familiar line of rhetoric anytime a driver dies, that we talk about how good he was and how professional he was and how kind he was. And I feel like we do that every time a driver passes, and I don't want to mean this as a slight towards any other driver that's passed over the past decade, but when you hear people talk about Justin Wilson and how kind he was and how nice he was and just what a total man's man professional that he was, it could not be more true about any other human being. Justin, everyone called Justin Wilson a friend, but Justin made a point to be your friend as well. It was definitely on both ends. So it was just a huge loss, not only for the racing world, but just also from a personal human being standpoint. He was a 100% first-class fella, and he's going to be missed greatly.
NASCAR is honoring him this weekend. How?
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of different touring series honor him. The NASCAR Canadian Tire Series is in Mossport in Canada, and they're running stickers. The Xfinity Series is also going to run very similar stickers for their race at Elkhart Lake. The Cars Tour that I'm at here, several drivers are throwing stickers on their cars as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see several local divisions across the country running it too. He was a very popular driver. I mean, even if you're not a hardcore fan of IndyCar, you at least know of Justin Wilson because everyone talks so highly about him. Former F1 driver, so F1's going to be paying homage to him as well. So, again, a superhuman being, and he's going to be missed.
90 seconds left in the show. Tony Stewart responds to his wrongful death lawsuit. Give us the details.
Well, they're going to take it to federal court, and I feel like, without being too privy on the details, I feel like the Ward family has been really aggressive with Tony and in trying to place blame on Stewart for the incident that took the life of their son. And Tony has pretty much said, well, no, this is your fault as parents because you let your son, who was hopped up on marijuana, participate in a race. And Tony alleges that he did not know that the accident happened because it happened behind him after the contact. And he had no idea that this kid, Kevin Ward Jr., was going to charge down the banking at him until it was too late. And, you know, the family says, well, our son had emotional distress in between the moment of contact and when he died.
Right.
And we want reprimands for that. And I think Tony, after having his name kind of dragged through the mud, and certainly we've all seen the segment on Good Morning America a couple of weeks ago, I think Tony said that if you want to take this out, you want to hash it out, well, we're going to do it. And I'm not sure that the Ward family has much of a leg to stand on here.
Well, that's true. Now, how do we follow you, everything that you do, because you do such an amazing job for motorsports?
Well, there are two really good ways. I have a Facebook fan page now, which is facebook.com/MattWeaverMotorsports.
Awesome.
And every single story that I post will be archived on there. So if you guys follow me on Twitter, @MattWeaverSBN, my stories get posted there, but there's a lot of opinions and musings and randomness. So if you guys just want to find the stories, go to the Facebook fan page. But follow me on Twitter, MattWeaverSBN.
It's so good to hear your voice, and thank you for wrapping up the show with us. And we're going to have you on a lot, especially come up to the Snowball Derby. You know how special that race is for you and me. So thank you so much, and have fun this weekend up there in Concord.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. We miss you guys back home.
Awesome. Matt Weaver going to wrap up the show again. And for the new time slot, hope you guys had a good time tonight. Deep South Speedway, Kane Motorsports will be there in the vintage car. Come say hi. We've got some autographs for the kids, and we're just going to go out and have some fun. I encourage any vintage driver to come out there and try to get you some, unless you're scared. Love you, Mom. See you later.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at Full Throttle Racing with Kane.